One of the most difficult parts of dealing with a narcissist for me was the constant invalidation of my thoughts and my emotions. Since my first narcissist was a parent, I would develop some serious personal issues over time as a result of it. I remember feeling like anything I said or thought or felt was somehow less relevant or less real than what other people said, thought, or felt. I literally felt like I was not even a real person, or at least not as real as like everyone else around me. In fact, if I'm being honest, it wasn't until about 10 years ago that I really fully recognized myself as a whole person rather than some watered down extension of someone else. And yes, I know it sounds silly, but it's true. I really think that the hardest, most painful part of growing up that way with a narcissist and later marrying another narcissist was that constant invalidation. Now, just to be clear, when I say invalidation, what I'm talking about is emotional invalidation, which sounds innocent, right? But it's what happens when someone rejects or ignores or judges everything you say, everything you think, everything you feel. For example, when I was in second grade, I noticed that I could draw better than some people in my class. So I told my mom I wanted to grow up and become an artist. And she told me at that tender age that I couldn't be an artist because artists don't make money. Of course, that's just one of many examples I could share, and it probably sounds pretty harmless to you. But here's the thing. When we're talking about narcissistic parents, this is an ongoing issue that pretty much starts the minute you can talk. And even when you're involved in a romantic relationship with a narcissist for years, the same thing. It can still deeply affect you. You see, despite what a lot of people think, invalidation is actually one of the most damaging forms of emotional abuse. And this is especially true when it happens repeatedly over the course of time. Not only does it make you feel like you're not a real person or like you're a little crazy, but it'll leave you feeling constantly confused and full of self-doubt. On the other end of the spectrum here is validation, or accepting and recognizing that someone else's feelings and thoughts and ideas are worth hearing. They're understandable, they're legitimate. It doesn't mean unconditional acceptance of those ideas or thoughts. It just means that you don't automatically assume someone has nothing of value to say. In fact, it means accepting someone as a real person who is not less worthy or less valuable than yourself. And even someone who isn't a narcissist, let's say a normal person, might disagree and have a difference in opinion, but they can recognize the value still in the thoughts of other people. Plus, one of those normal people is likely to make an attempt to actually understand other people. In fact, they will try to even look at abnormal behaviors from a healthy place, a place of empathy. See, that's basic human nature, to try to sort of understand someone else's side of things. But when there's a narcissist involved, we're not exactly dealing with normal, are we? Instead, we're stuck with a walking, talking, human-like being who seems to have a giant hole in their soul. A narcissist isn't capable of true empathy, so it only makes sense that you can't expect them to validate you. In fact, as it turns out, invalidation is one of the hallmarks of emotional abuse. Sadly, there's a simple reason for that, in my opinion, and that is that the narcissist sees you as a possession or an object, a thing. You're just an extension of them, according to them. If the narcissist were to see you as equal to themselves, this would shatter their grand illusion. You know, the way they deceive themselves into thinking they're better than everyone else in the world? Yeah. Well, that, and because it's yet another way that the narcissist gaslights you and keeps you tightly in place in that narcissistic supply chain. Between the gaslighting, the narcissistic rage, and the narcissistic injury, not to mention the flying monkeys of it all, you can become pretty overwhelmed and lose yourself. And the truth is that all of the name-calling, verbal cut-downs, and narcissistic control that you're dealing with, well, it could be all placed under the umbrella of invalidation. So how do you recognize invalidation from a narcissist? Well, if you haven't ever taken the time to watch for it, you might not even realize that you're being invalidated. If you're anything like I was, you're likely to assume that you are the problem rather than your abuser. But it's important to recognize when it's happening because it is essentially the number one way that narcissists actively tear down your core self in order to keep you feeling off balance, confused, and plain old not good enough, all of which sadly makes you easier to control. It's my goal to help you take back your life though, so I want you to see it when it's happening, or at least to be able to recognize it in hindsight, because essentially, it's one more way the narcissist lies to you and gives you the wrong idea about who you are. And that's one of the hardest parts about going through narcissistic abuse. If you want to recover, you first have to recognize it, right? So in order to help you recognize it in your own life, here are some examples of what invalidation looks like. Number one, during a conversation. If you're having a conversation with a narcissist, you might notice that when it's your turn to talk, you only get grunts or a couple of words in response. Nothing that actually indicates the narcissist has heard you or understood you. Maybe even you just get a pause and a breath. You might notice that they're just waiting until it's their turn to talk again. They could actually care less about what's happening inside your head. They only want you to hear what they have to say. Doesn't really matter to them what you're thinking or feeling, because as far as they're concerned, you're just an extension of themselves with nothing of value to share. I know it hurts, but it's true. That brings me to number two, how the narcissist feels about you. Did you ever ask a narcissist how they felt about you? Or has one ever volunteered that information to you? If you think back, you might recall that they would say things like, I love the way you make me feel. I really like how you always listen to me. I think it's great that you're always there when I need you. I love how you take care of me. I like how you rub my back or cook my food or whatever. Do you see how there was really nothing personally about you there? Nothing about you personally? Rather, the focus is all about what you do for them, not who you are. That's because the narcissist only really cares about what they can get from you, what you can do for them, not who you are as a person. It's always about the narcissistic supply for them. Here's the hard part, and it seems a little counterintuitive, but you gotta stick with me here. You've gotta figure out a way to not take it personally. Now, don't get me wrong, I know it hurts, and it most definitely is a personal attack. But the thing is, it's not really ever about you, it's really about their own shortcomings. Now, of course, I wanna tell you that you shouldn't care or even feel offended by it. I mean, it's just the narcissist's way, right? That's how they treat everyone, right? Well, that would be the case if we didn't seem to always catch the narcissist appearing to genuinely connect with other people when they're more of a brick wall when it comes to understanding you. That brings me to my next point, number three, connections to other people. I can't tell you how many times, in tears, I literally would say to my ex-husband, could you please just be nice to me? Being with a narcissist can feel very lonely at times, and it's frustrating to watch your abuser be nice to other people when they can't even be polite to you, much less kind. Worse, they seem to actually have some sort of empathy for them, and yet if you even dare bat an eyelash the wrong way in regard to those people, the narcissist will tell you how those people feel. Yeah. And still, when it comes to you, the narcissist, they seem completely blind. They have no idea what you're talking about, as far as you can tell anyway. But then you start to wonder, what's so bad about me? Am I really as insulting lie here, crazy, lazy, ugly, stupid, etc., as the narcissist says I am? Do I really deserve to be treated this way? No one else in my life seems to think I'm that bad. Why this person? Listen, if you're there, you're on the right track. Let's talk about why the narcissist invalidates us in the first place. See, by devaluing and disregarding you with those subtle little behaviors, the narcissist gets something out of it for sure. You, emotionally devastated and behaving like the good little narcissistic supply they've always needed. But if you think this is going to improve how you're treated, you're sadly mistaken. See, once you've been properly molded into the ideal person the narcissist wants, you're going to hope that they will finally be happy with you. And while you might not notice that you're more concerned about their happiness than your own, which, by the way, is a problem in itself, you figure if you don't make any mistakes and you do what they want, it'll all be okay. But sadly, the happiness you're hoping for is never going to quite arrive. And if it does, it's going to be fleeting. That's because the more you try to become perfect for the narcissist, the more they lose respect for you. Over time, they're going to have you believing that you're not even an actual human who deserves to be treated with even the most basic dignity. And you're going to find yourself acting in kind if you're not careful, as you desperately seek to justify it to yourself with thoughts of personal change and self-sacrifice if you're anything like me. You're going to rack your brain for all the ways you can change to elicit change from them. But listen, my friend, here's the thing. None of that is going to matter unless both of you are willing to give. You can only change so much without any reciprocation at all. Compromise means two parties come to a mutually agreeable solution in which both parties get what they want, or some version of that. Otherwise, it's just you giving and giving and giving, and them taking and taking and taking until they completely drain you. And you, my friend, you deserve better. You are just as important as anyone else in the world. Your thoughts, your ideas, your experiences, they are valid and they matter and they are worth having, worth hearing. Please don't forget that. I'm going to add a very brief clip of another video for you to give you a little bit more information on building yourself back up. And I'll be right back here to see you afterwards, so stick with me. Take a look. So if you did go through a toxic relationship, you spent a lot of time with a narcissist or a toxic person of any sort, chances are you have been conditioned to think a certain way. This might have started in childhood. It might have started during an adult relationship. But either way, your mind has been conditioned by someone else. And in some cases, you may have sort of self-conditioned in order to manage and cope with the things you were going through. But the thing is that what we actually are doing when we are allowing conditioned thinking to continue, when we allow ourselves to continue to think and feel and believe the things that we were conditioned to think and feel and believe, or what we think other people expect of us, we're actually kind of carrying around a lot of burden that we don't need. For example, there's a story of two guys walking down the street and it's raining, it's pouring. And there's a lady standing there screaming, and they walk up to her and they say, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she says, oh my gosh, I just got these brand new shoes. And they're really expensive. And I can't walk across the street because look at all the puddles. Like, there's nowhere for me to walk safely. I need somebody to carry me across the street, please, right now. And so the younger one was like, nope. And the older one was like, well, whatever. Let me just carry her across the street, helped her out. She didn't even say thank you. And later that night, they were hanging out. And the younger guy looks at the older guy and says, why did you carry that woman across the street? She didn't even say thank you. Why would you do that? And the older guy says, look, dude, I put her down hours ago. Why are you still carrying her? It's conditional thinking. Now, think back to when you were a kid. Think back to your young adulthood. Whatever happened during that time would have started to condition you, would have conditioned you to believe certain things. Whatever happened in your toxic relationship would have conditioned you to believe certain things.
Now, I'm going to include a link for you to a playlist right here and right there that's going to help you really take this to the next level so that you can really start to take back your power and find within yourself the strength that you might not even realize is in there still. So make sure you don't miss that playlist here and in the pinned comment below. All right, now this brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, do you think that validation was one of the biggest things missing in your relationship with a narcissist? Do you find that you ever kind of forget who you are, or that you ever did forget who you were as a result of a relationship with a narcissist? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm going to leave for you here and there. And while you're here, hit that subscribe button right over there so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.